Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. This is Harold Kimball and Florence Joseph interviewing Jock Rosenberg on December 11, 1984, at his home. Will you give us your name and address, please?
Jock Rosenberg, 1824, Washington, Plaza.
1420, Jock.
Pittsburgh, PA, 152-19.
That's to protect you.
Jock, would you care to tell us something about your background, your parents, your grandparents, whatever you can remember, and what year would you go back to?
I was born in 1905, May 29th. My mother, father, my father's name was Carp, my mother's name was Rachel. I was born on Elm Street,
Elm Street, yeah. Okay. I know where that is.
My father was in a leather business.
In the leather business, see.
With my brother.
On Tamil Street.
He started in 1898.
That's
great. My brother was
Torrence Rosenberg. Yeah. Okay.
And my sister's name was Ann.
Okay.
She married. She married
Max.
Max Ruttenberg. Yeah,
Max Ruttenberg.
They both deceased now.
Deceased.
My dad retired when I
about 1945, wasn't it, when Ted went in the business? When was that?
He retired.
In the 40s.
In the 40s.
Early 40s.
Yeah.
And my brother was in the brokerage business with me. My brother went in the brokerage business with me.
What was his name?
Torrence.
Torrence was in a brokerage business with you.
Yeah.
In the 40s, yeah, was that?
He was in the, we eventually went in the business representing H. Hansen Company. H. Hansen Company.
H. Hansen, I remember them, yeah.
The manager.
Right, he managed them. Would you tell us where your father emigrated from in Europe? Which part of Europe?
I think Russia.
Russia, okay.
My mother came over from Poland.
Poland, right.
They were married in this country.
Uh-huh. And were you born right here on Elm Street? Right outside your window?
That's right.
Practically.
That's right. When I was 2 years old, we moved to Dinwiddie Street.
Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
That was a classy street in those days.
And then we eventually moved to Oakland.
Moved to Oakland, yeah.
Coulthard Avenue. That's where Kimball was.
Right. My aunt lived on that street, and you lived on Coulthard. Yeah.
Coulthard?
Yeah, that's in Oakland. Coulthard. Still there, right?
That's right.
He went up here to North.
We then moved to Squirrel Hill.
Yeah. But when you were here, you went to Miller School, That was the big, what do you call that, elementary school here. Everybody here went to.
Graduated from Belfield School. My last year, my eighth grade, I went to the Belfield School.
Where was that, the Belfield?
In
Oakland?
Fifth Avenue.
Oh, near Belfield Avenue, near where Pitt is
that's
now.
That's right.
Pitt University.
You went to Shenley.
And then you went to Shenley.
Belfield was an elementary school?
Shenley High School.
Shenley High School. The elementary school was Belfield, right. And you, when did you graduate? Can you remember at Shenley? 23. Long time ago. And then from there you went to Duquesne?
Or to Pitt first.
To Pitt?
Yeah.
Were you playing basketball then too?
I went to Pitt and then I transferred to Duquesne.
I see.
And I played basketball from 1924 to
29 maybe.
Yeah, 29.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you did tell us. Did you play the game in high school too for Shenley?
Shenley. Played high school, football and basketball.
Oh, all sports. Tell us about some of the people you remember on your team. Were there a lot of Jewish boys on your team then? You remember Marty Ryder.
Yeah, that was,
that was Duquesne, after, right.
Dave Oldham.
Dave Oldham. Let's see if you want that. He became a judge in Pittsburgh.
A very close friend.
And he died how many years ago?
15 years.
Really? I remember when he died. That
and
long.
Very dear friend.
Great guy, wasn't he? Anybody else you can think of? I never knew that Dave
played. Well, he was
a happier.
He was at
Duquesne.
Yeah.
He
went to school with Mel
Packard. Dave Packard.
Dave Packard.
He was an athlete and singer. Singer.
What was his first name?
Joe, wasn't it?
Joe Singer, right.
They were all basketball players playing on your team?
Hello?
Were they all playing with you and your on the team?
I don't hear you.
You'll have to talk about it.
She wanted to know, were they all playing on your team?
Johnny Serban. He played at Duquesne with me.
Yeah. Are these all Jewish boys?
No, just Serban.
So it was pretty much of a Jewish team those days.
Not many Jewish players. I mentioned, I think of the name, David Walder. Walder.
Well, how were you how were you in your studies besides the athletics?
Average.
Yeah.
Average students.
Uh-huh. Did you specialize in anything?
Pharmacy? Pharmacy school.
Oh, good.
For four years.
Right.
At Duquesne.
And then in my senior year,
I got a job in Rankin as a coach and basketball.
Of the Rankin
High School?
High School,
that's right.
So he was a coach.
He was an all-star guard at Duquesne.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. You were an all-star guard at Duquesne, right?
I played at Duquesne.
And how was their rating in those days?
High.
Amongst
very high.
The colleges. Yeah. Top 10, yeah. Would you say?
All those says they were tri-state champions.
I see.
And we were tri-state champions for 3 years.
Well, that's not bad to be tri-state champions for 3 years.
Who was the champion of the so-called?
I was elected captain of the team.
And you were captain?
In my senior year.
Okay, that's good.
I can't talk very well.
That's all right. If you get tired, tell us and we'll stop. Okay. But everything's registering nicely. We're doing fine. No problem. And this is good material. Yeah, well, we can always go back. For example, if we skipped anything, like in the family, now's your chance. If you remember something about your aunt, your uncle, your grandparents. But see if I got it straight. Your father was in the leather business, right, when he came here?
His mother was the one that pushed him.
And your mother was the brains?
No, she wanted him to have the college education.
Oh, but your mother made sure you got a college education.
Right.
Well, let's respect his mother.
Right.
Thank goodness for that. Well, where was your place of business? Right down
61
here?
61 Tunnel Street.
On Tunnel Street.
61.
Boy, I know where Tunnel Street is. Right around the corner. Yeah, what's interesting, we're at the Washington Plaza up on the 9th floor, looking out of the window on the very streets that Jock is mentioning that are no longer here, right?
That's right.
They're way in the past.
That's right.
But would you say you had a nice family life and a nice life at school in this area?
In this area. I didn't live this long.
You lived here?
I didn't live so long.
Oh, not too long.
I was a year old when I moved to...
Oh, I see.
Dinwiddie.
To Dinwiddie. Well, Dinwiddie is about 10 or 15 blocks.
No, it's only about 6.
Is that all? 6 blocks up the street from here. And in those days, wouldn't you say that's when most of the Jews lived?
Area. Most of the Jews live in this area.
Right. What shul? What synagogue?
Beth Jacob.
You went to Beth Jacob. That was the nice one down there. But there was one on Washington Street. Right here.
Beth Hamidrash.
Beth Hamidrash. Hagol. Yeah, now that was considered a pretty good one, wasn't it?
Now landmark.
Between the two. But you went faithfully. To the shul here?
To the
were you religious, were you?
I was religious. I was older.
Take your time. Should we let it run or turn it?
You want some water,
Jeff?
Yeah. I wasn't religious, but I was a good Jew.
Okay, well, forgive me. How about your parents? Were they Orthodox?
Orthodox.
So they were pretty... You came from a religious home.
I came from a religious home.
Right. Did you practice kosher in your home? Did you have kosher in your home?
My home, it was kosher.
Yeah. 2 sets of dishes?
Huh?
Did they go as far as having...
2 sets of dishes.
See, that was real Orthodox, right. That's his background. And you were... You had a happy childhood, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Yeah. And you never, it seems, you never did get involved in your father's business,
no,
is that right?
I worked there. I worked after school.
You worked there after school?
Yeah, I worked a stock boy.
Saw?
Stock boy.
Oh, a stock boy. Right. You ran the stock. Well, then you knew your father's business, but evidently you never went into that business. And what happened with the business?
He sold it to veterans.
to a veterans group?
Two veterans. One a Jewish fellow and one a Tennessee fellow.
I see. And they went into that business.
He sold it for the inventory.
Sold it for the inventory. Well, that was a good opportunity for somebody, wasn't it? All right, we can move along from there. I think we've covered education pretty well because you went to the local elementary school here, which was Miller School. Yeah. And then from there you went to Pitt for a while, right? Yeah. And then you transferred over to Duquesne. Yeah. And we've discussed the religion. Now, would you like to say a little bit about your marriage, how you discovered your wife?
Well, before that, I think he had a very successful career as a coach and teacher at Rankin. And
this
he
is
was very loved out there. Beloved, really.
Before you were married,
yeah.
Are you saying? Well, then we should discuss that. What went on in Rankin? Now, that was like your
first job
after you left college.
Okay.
And there you were over in Rankin, PA, which is a city very close to Pittsburgh, right? A steel mill town, right? And you were teaching, you were the head coach.
Coach, and I taught chemistry and biology.
Oh, you taught chemistry and biology.
And he coached.
And coached the basketball team?
Basketball, football.
And football.
And everything. Our director of athletics.
Okay, as director of athletics, can you remember what year that was? Just take a guess.
1929.
From 1929 to 1936,
I stayed there.
You were at Rankin.
Yeah.
That's almost 7 years.
That's 7 years.
Yeah. 1936
to
1936.
I'm so proud
of the fact that he took this
depression.
He took a bunch of
ass.
I quit there.
Interesting. I won't say that.
I quit there when I got the. I got a job as a burger. Edgar Lewin.
In other words, see if I have this straight. You had quite a career for 7 years in Rankin during the worst of the Depression.
That's right.
And you had these poor kids out of the steel mills background starved, and you gave them something to live for, which was athletics,
right? That's right. They, I used to feed some of the kids lunch.
Out of your own pocket, you fed them?
Own pocket.
That's very good.
The Eckers, the people there were very
good. You had some local people there that helped you poor kids.
Yeah.
So you were not only a coach and a teacher, you were a social worker.
That's right.
Right. Well, that should make you feel good.
Took them to all the way up the last year to the Pennsylvania. What is it, WPIAL Jock Championship? And
I hope that got on tape that you did that.
One of the years, in 1935, I won the state championship. Playing Allentown in Allentown in the Palestra in Philadelphia.
What's the name of that place in Philadelphia?
Palestra.
The Palestra. And that big stadium, is it? Indoor? Big indoor stadium.
Big,
you played the state championship, right?
And they lost.
And your team lost?
They lost, yeah.
Do you
want
to know why?
Why did they lose?
Other things
were scored over more points.
What was that?
The other team scored more.
That's a good reason. The other team scored more points.
Black,
I'm glad we got that.
One of the first that had a black, great basketball player.
With blacks on.
With a black, one black.
And yeah.
The crowd was very hostile.
They were. In other words, in those days, it was unusual for a black to even be on a basketball team. Isn't that hard to believe today?
He's still a friend.
And you were a forerunner. You put one of the first blacks on the Duquesne team, was it? Or was it the Rankin? Oh, in other words, at Duquesne, there were no blacks.
Oh, yeah, there were blacks.
We didn't have a black in basketball. There were no blacks in basketball.
See that? There were no blacks. This is important. There were no blacks in basketball on the team at Duquesne when you were playing.
That's right.
1925
that's right.
to 29. That's a historical fact.
That's right.
It's hard to believe because today, you know, the blacks dominate the basketball team.
And this Wally Campbell was the first black on his team. We have all the pictures.
And you were responsible for that.
And
to do that.
Are you talking about the Rankin School? Oh. Right now?
Yes, the Rankin School. Yeah.
The boy's name?
Wiley Campbell.
W-I-L-E-Y-C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L.
First black on the team.
He was a star. He was a potential star.
Czar?
A potential star.
Oh, star. You got it? Yes. A potential star. So you recognized the quality in this man, and you gave him the break that they deserved.
He gave me a break. He made me.
See, it was paid back. Well, that's very interesting. Do you think we've covered...
Would you like to hear... I don't know whether this should be in here or not.
What?
He applied for a job in Williamsport.
Yes.
And somebody on the board, and he had this terrific record. Around.
Yeah.
And somebody on the board told him they liked the job. When you applied for your job at Williamsport, and they told him... had a terrific record and everything, but they could never employ a Jew. Isn't that what they told you?
You mean they came right out and said...
Somebody on the board told them.
On the board.
The superintendent called me in Williamsport for a basketball job.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go up there Monday morning of the week. He called until nothing came up. He asked me what my religion was. I said, what do you want, a basketball coach or a rabbi or a minister?
Mm-hmm.
And that was dropped.
That was the end of that.
He was Jewish.
In other words, in those days, they were very outspoken with their
anti-Semitism,
right? It was true across the country, I'm sure. But you felt the effects of that.
That's why he got out of coaching.
So that's one of the reasons left coaching, because...
I don't want to get out of it all right. I was too tough. I was going nowhere.
Going nowhere.
Future for a Jew.
Yeah. So the fact that you were Jewish in... an area where Jews didn't have an open door too much made you decide to leave it.
That's right.
And we can say for the record, there's another example of what went on in this country in the 20s and even in the 30s.
That's right.
Right? So now we have covered that little part of your life, but would you like to talk about how you met your wife? At that period, you were still a coach, were you?
No, he went into the...
Oh, you went into business first.
Jock, tell him the man from Braddock got you into the banker from Braddock.
Yes, that's perfectly all right, because that clarifies things.
A banker, what was Mr. Strebich, wasn't it?
Mr. Strebich.
Was very...
Vice President of the First National Bank of Braddock.
Yes.
He took a liking to me.
And he suggested he go
and
to...
He got me the job in the brokerage business.
Good. In those days, was brokeraging popular?
No.
It was after the crash. Is that when it was?
No,
after
it would be 1930.
The terrible
1936,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, well. 37.
Did people have money to invest in those days? Much.
Not very.
Not very much money. So in other words,
there were very few Jewish people in it, and the Jewish people who bought stocks went to their bank. They didn't want anybody to know. Jock would work
all day for 50. He took a personal interest in me. Yeah. He made a contact with Mr. Lewin.
With Emmanuel.
Lewin, right.
He was the manager of Emmanuel and Company that was in Pittsburgh.
Emmanuel County.
Were they in the Union Trust building?
Yeah.
I remember them, Lewin and Company.
Yeah, well, they...
You don't hear about them today.
Well, they've all died, the family. The children moved away.
So you were sort of, would you say...
We were in the golf bowling.
Oh, in the golf?
We were in the golf bowling.
First.
H. Henson Company.
H. Henson Company.
He was the manager of H. Henson Company.
I see.
He left Emmanuel and went to H. Henson. He took Jock with him.
I see.
And they moved to the Union Trust.
In those days, would you say, were there many Jewish brokers, or were you amongst the few?
A few.
And most brokerage houses were Christian, Gentile, right?
Most of them were.
You worked very hard to get
a scattering of Jewish people. A scattering of
Jewish people. Not too many. Well, things have changed today, don't you think? Big change. So you were amongst the pioneers then worked in a new kind of Jewish-related job.
That's right.
Yeah. So now there you are at last working and having a social life, evidently. So how did you meet this beautiful young lady who became your wife?
Well, I wasn't from Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
I'm from a very small town in Jefferson County.
How did you find this lady from Jefferson County?
I was a graduate of Temple University in the pharmacy school, and I came here to work, and somebody introduced us.
I see.
She,
See how he remembers it.
He remembers his memory.
Maybe it's going to be more romantic when he tells us.
Not really.
We'll see.
A friend of mine, but they have a free luncher. She introduces Frida Luncher. She introduced us.
A friend of yours introduced you at a lunch?
No.
No, she just...
At a meeting.
Oh, at a meeting.
At her home. That's how we met. And from that time on about... I became engaged and I married.
That sounds simple. In other words, a friend introduced you at an evening social, right, in their home. And would you say you went for her? You don't have to answer that question. And so you became friends.
That's right.
And it matured.
And
then came the wedding bells.
1939.
In 1939, you were married. Were you still working at the brokerage then?
Office.
And now you're married in 1939. Evidently found a nest somewhere. What was that to live in?
Well, we lived with his parents on Raleigh Street.
First year
on Raleigh Street in Squirrel Hill. Right off of Whiteman.
His family,
right?
The family home. They
that was
there
the family
from
home.
Street.
Right. Yeah, you didn't tell us
how,
what, could you remember what year they moved from Oakland into Squirrel Hill on Raleigh Street?
I don't remember.
Wait a minute.
Hard to remember that, but either the 30s or 40s.
No, it was still in the 20s, wasn't it, Jock?
In the 20s.
You moved off of Dinwiddie Street. You were in Chumley High School.
Yeah,
but that's
and
when
then,
he moved to Oakland.
Yeah, but when did you go to Raleigh Street? About 28 or 29? You were out of high school already in college when you went to Raleigh Street, weren't you, Joe?
Yeah.
Must have been about 29.
And your father was still alive then?
Oh, yeah.
And he was no longer in the leather business, or was he?
No, he left the leather business in the 40s.
And so what was
I don't remember.
Oh, so he was still in
Yeah,
it.
And they moved to Waller Street.
Right.
About
well, would you like to tell us what the leather business was all about in those days? What did you do with this leather?
We sold to the shoemakers.
To shoemakers.
We sold them leather and foundings.
Right.
Findings,
you call it.
Yeah.
In other words, in those days, not like today, people had their shoes repaired. Nobody would throw away their shoes like they do today.
That's right.
You made it last. So
that's right.
There was a big network of shoe repairmen.
That's right.
And your father supplied everything necessary.
And then the business
was very competitive.